for the big show, Bob and Ray carry on their usually delightful chatter as Radio New York comes into view, the big WOR afternoon all-purpose program. Lots of fun, lots of laughs with Bob and Ray. I'll see you later. See you at 6.
Okay, Lyle, thank you very much. Very kind words indeed. And boy, do we have a program arranged today.
Oh, we have worked hours getting this thing together. And first of all, we want to remind you it's on WOR until 7, WOR, where you bought the hat.
And this is Radio New York. This is the first time that we were up before the milkman arrived this morning getting this program arranged. We're really bearing down on it. Dr. Arlington Garment will be here with that new health feature, You and Your Symptoms.
He was here a week ago today, and I think probably we've had more mail in regard to Dr. Garment's appearance than any other particular individual that we've had so far.
Well, you know, we did some deep market research on this and discovered that people are very health conscious now and just love talking about symptoms and things. And so he's filling a real need, I guess.
The National Association of Left-Handed Ladies Steeplejacks is meeting here in New York, and we're going to cover that. I don't know whether Ballou is prepared to go over there.
I was told to come right up and speak up. I'm the chair lady.
All right, ma'am, but we're not ready to... We're just introducing the program right now. We're not ready to chat with you. If you go back
over... Well, I just wanted you to know that I was here.
If you go sit in
I'll go tend my knitting.
In the audience section, we'll get to you a little bit later. We may have an expert on the sea otter come along a little bit later.
But first, let's get to the business.
Let's see. This was the day in 1775. I'm a history expert. This was the day that Patrick Henry introduced a resolution providing for the organization of the militia in order to put the colony in shape for defense. One of his most famous speeches, in it his prophecy of the clash of arms from the north, was fulfilled within less than a month. On April 19th, the Battle of Concord and Lexington was fought.
Really? Well, now, let's see if I can remember that. By the bridge, the arch, the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled. There the embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world.
I'm forever amazed at the... They say the older you get, the better your memory is for things you learn in school.
I grew up just 6 miles away from the Concord Bridge.
By the rude bridge that arched the flood. And you can
their
still
flag
see.
To April's breeze unfurled. Boy, I really feel that.
Do you want to do the whole thing again? Nah. I think I'm... No, I didn't tape it.
The phone is lighting up now. I don't know whether it's good or a bad sign.
It's bad, I think.
Hey, Bonnie. Well, they said March came in like a lamb. It's going out like a lion. There's Wally Blue and Bob again. Off microphone. Really, you know, you'd think they'd learn that in radio you should speak into the microphone.
I know enough to, but he doesn't.
It appears you don't. You go right down there and blabber with him. Apparently you don't know that you have to speak into this microphone.
He calls me over to discuss with
him. A lot of people are listening on a radio no bigger than this, you know, 4 by 5 inches.
Yeah, I know.
Well, let's pay attention to that. I hate to be cranky this way, especially on, you know, the beginning of the show. We have to be here till 7 o'clock. For those of you who
it's
just
like you're starting
in,
off too early.
This is Radio New York with Bob over there and Ray over here. Incidentally, our giant linoleum stage is being waxed today, so make a few allowances for that, if you will.
I'm going to tell you about the Bolshoi Ballet story.
I'd love to hear it again.
terrible. I think they're going to appear, or they are appearing, aren't they, in the next few days or weeks? But anyway, they appeared at the Madison Square Garden a few years ago, and they had overwaxed the stage, and they had not had a chance to practice, and a couple of them fell down as soon as they came out, and it was a benefit performance for my kid's school.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I nearly went right through the floor.
I bet you were mortified, to say the least.
Association of Left-Handed Ladies Steeplejacks is holding its annual convention here in New York. We've invited its president, Ms. Wendell Stopdeck of Muscatine, Iowa, to be our guest today, and she's here. Ms. Stopdeck, would you come over and take Ray's chair? Ray, would you get up and let Ms. Stopdeck sit there?
Sit right here.
I want to talk about Sears for just
a
minute.
Muscatine.
It's Ms. Stopdeck. I'm from Muscatine, Iowa.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ms. Wendell Stopdeck.
Want me to hold your knitting?
If you would.
You come. Going over there and letting Mrs. Stopdeck sit here with me. Do you?
Don't drop the knitting, please, Mr. Goulding.
It was nice of you to take time out, ma'am, from your busy convention schedule to come over here today. I know you have a lot to do, and your other members are pretty active and busy, I guess.
Well, my convention schedule isn't really all that busy.
It
actually,
is.
Bob, you're Bob.
Yes, I'm
yes.
Bob.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
Ray was the one who gave you his chair.
Oh, wasn't he a fine gentleman?
Yes.
Striking-looking man, isn't he?
Who?
Ray.
Ray?
I mean, we're going to be here all this week, and we don't have a thing to do but elect Gladys our new president the day after tomorrow.
You mean you already know who the new president's going to be, even though you haven't had the election yet?
Oh, yes. You see, there are only two left-handed lady steeplejacks in the country.
Oh.
So we just take turns being president of the association.
Oh, holding the election is the only business you have to transact then, right?
Well, I can't imagine anything else that could possibly come up. I mean, there are never any new innovations in steeplejacking.
No,
though,
sure.
From one year to the next that we could chat about. And the fact that both of us happen to be women certainly doesn't call for any discussion either.
I don't suppose the fact that you're left-handed presents any special problems you could talk over
no,
either,
no,
huh?
In steeplejacking, it doesn't make a particle of difference whether you're left-handed or not.
Miss Stoptic, would you get up and let Ray sit there while we do this Ecu Royale wine commercial, and then
you're
I'd like
right.
to talk to you some more. Ray, if you'd just take her position. Miss Stoptic, you'll take the knitting and stand over there, will you please?
I'm all confused with the directions. What should I do?
Just stand there.
Just get up, lady, and move,
so Ray,
I have to do a commercial.
Well, she's an elderly lady, Ray.
What
don't talk to her that way. That isn't polite.
Well, I understand. He's as nervous as I am, probably.
Miss Stoptic, I can't help but wondering why you bother to hold conventions or even set up an association of left-handed lady steeplejacks. It seems like it's, you know, a lot of work for nothing, really.
Bob, why don't you wait till I get up and let her sit down?
Oh, I thought she was sitting down.
Oh, you can't.
I'm sorry, Miss Stoptic.
Oh, it's all right.
Oh, well, look.
I'm
we'll
as nervous as can be here.
We'll get back to you then. I guess there's something else we
have to dropped even the page in the script.
Oh, don't give things like that away, man.
Now, what was your question?
I said I can't help wondering why you go to all the trouble of having a meeting when there's only two of you in this group.
Well, it's fairly obvious. Gladys and I both come from small hick towns, and we have to have some excuse for going to the big city to get a load on.
So convention is really something you talk about back home to give you a reason for going to New York?
That's basically it, except that we don't always come to New York. Last year, we went to San Francisco.
Oh, that's a beautiful town.
But we weren't too happy with it.
No?
Climbing up and down those hills was so much like the kind of walking we do every day on steeples back home, you know.
So you gave New York the nod this year,
We considered Chicago, but then we figured that Times Square here in New York would be a better place for us to stand on the street and whistle at sailors.
It's one of your big convention activities, is it?
Yes.
Miss Stoptic, you know, we're coming up to 3 o'clock, 3:30 here, and we do want to hear from Miss Truman. And Ray, I believe, has an announcement that
you'd
like to do. So if you'll just stand back over there with your knitting, and we'll let Ray go ahead, okay?
All right. Say,
just told me, Miss Stoptic, that one of the things you do is stand on the street corners and whistle at sailors when you're here in New York.
Well,
I find that a little bit.
We always put it on the agenda, but of course, once the sailors get a look at us, that's the end of that.
Yeah.
I think we may give it up completely in 3 or 4 years if we don't start having a little better luck.
Well, I haven't seen Gladys, the other member, but on the basis of what I know, I can't see much point in keeping it up for another 3 or 4 years.
No, I suppose you're right. We just keep hoping that some extremely nearsighted sailors might come along.
Do you do anything else at all during the convention besides getting stoned and whistling at sailors?
Well, we have the usual activities that you'd find at any convention, you know. We drop bags full of water out our hotel room window.
Yes, sure.
And we keep the lobby in a turmoil with our joy buzzers and things like that.
Well, I know Ray and I have often wondered about the fascinating lives that you left-handed ladies steeplejacks must lead, and I'm sorry we found out, actually.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bob,
okay.
And you too, Ray. It was a pleasure being here.
Thank you.
W-O-R.
Thank you
It'll
for coming.
It'll be a memory I'll cherish.
I'm sure you will. We'll give you a taped recording of your guest interview here, Miss Stoptic.
How exciting.
Home with you. Ms. Wendell Stoptic of Muscatine, Iowa. Already out in the hall talking with Artie Skirmahorn. He's wondering whether Artie might run for controller if Wally decides to run for mayor.
Well, why would he have to check with Artie? If Wally wants to do it, he can run.
And your name came up too, Webley. He's thinking of you for tree warden.
Yeah, no, that's a joke. No, I don't want any public office like that. I have enough responsibilities as it is just trying to keep myself dressed and fed and out of the rain without worrying about other things. Just, if I can take care of myself, I figure I've done a job well done.
Well,
believe me.
That's an accomplishment for anybody these
days.
I
had 4 postcards today. I know you'll laugh at me, requesting that I play jealousy all the way through. Is there any opportunity today? Do you think I might be able to work that in? It's about 3 minutes.
It would be up to our producer, Bob Tiley, to decide whether or not we could allow the time for the entire number. I really don't know.
Is he the fellow in the control room with bells on his shoes?
Yes. So he'll turn up toes on the end of the...
Yeah, well, I'll go talk with him.
All right.
Right.
Producer, he says I have a fat chance to play today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Isn't that great?
Gee, what do you mean, isn't that great? That means you won't have a chance to play it. Fat chance is a term he uses.
Oh, I thought that would be sure.
No, I don't think so. I don't know him too well.
I misinterpreted it then.
Well, if he said you have a fat chance of playing jealousy into its conclusion...
Sounds like a good opportunity. I thought a thin chance, you wouldn't have any chance, but a fat chance.
No, but when you... See here, young man. When you use the phrase...
I'm not a young man. Don't talk down to me, Bob.
When
there's no reason to do that.
When you say you got a fat chance...
You demean me, you really demean yourself.
Myself?
Yeah. Oh.
What do you mean?
You ridiculing the way I talk now?
No, but I'm just saying if he said you...
Oh, the real Bob is really coming out, and you're going to get mail from my friend.
Webb, if he said you've got a fat chance, I would think that means you don't have much
of a chance. Could you two get out the fire in the studio and discuss this?
All right.
Give the folks the weather.
Came into the studio.
Oh,
we don't let you just walk in that way.
Hey,
you know?
Roy Fergusi.
Oh.
I saw you through that little window on the door there. I could hardly believe my eyes.
I guess you decided to just go ahead and believe them, even though you hardly could, and that's where you made your big mistake. I'm not Roy Fergusi.
No kidding?
No.
Gosh, you're a dead ringer for him.
Well, no harm done.
I wonder why Roy would be working in a radio studio. He's never done anything but sell earth-moving equipment ever since he was a kid, you know? I wonder what he'd be doing in here.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, he was with the Conway Bulldozers for at least 25 years now.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I guess he and Edith had their silver wedding anniversary last year. Have you ever met Edith?
No, I've never even met Roy. See, you made
her... Oh, hey, you'd love her. A wonderful girl. Great sense of humor, too. I remember one time, 8 or 10 years ago... We're holding our Midwest convention out in Indianapolis, and Roy brought Edith along with him. Well, you know the lobby of the Claypool Hotel, how it's laid out?
I've never been there.
Oh, really? I guess you must have missed the convention that year, right?
I think I did, yeah.
Well, anyway, a bunch of us were sitting around the lobby waiting for the afternoon session and unused dump trucks and stuff to begin. And Roy and Edith were there, of course, and all of a sudden, up come Roy's boss, old man Conway.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know what a stuffed shirt he is.
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm not acquainted with him. See,
oh,
you're mistaking
me. Yeah, well,
Roy...
he's been in earth moving since way back when. I mean, way out of sight. He started out with a line of the old models that were still pulled by horses. You remember those?
No.
Roy's grandfather even worked for Conway in the early days. Well, anyway, I guess you're not old enough to remember Roy's grandfather.
I don't remember him. I don't remember Roy anything.
I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be old enough. It must be 35, 40 years now since he went to his glory, come to think of it. Well, I got scooped up by a steam shovel he was demonstrating. You probably read about it in the papers, didn't you?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember that.
Well, I guess you wouldn't be old enough anyway. It was at least 35, 40 years ago.
I was a kid then.
But I remember my dad telling me about it. Did you ever meet my dad?
I don't know. What's his name?
Same as mine.
Oh, I don't know yours, so let's not get hung up on that point either, huh?
No, it was Roy I was telling you about.
I know.
You took a pass for brothers, you know?
Well, I doubt if we'd ever have any occasion to try it.
Suppose not. Now, what was I starting to tell you?
I don't know. I kind of hope you were starting to say goodbye, because
we
have... Yeah,
that might have been it. Well, it's been nice talking to you, and next time I see Roy, I'll give him your regards.
Yeah, do that. I'd like to hear from him. Maybe...
Is it the door I came in?
Either one. You can go in the front way or the back way. It doesn't matter. Match. Member FDIC.
Right in, I'd like to wedding.
Who is that, DeRay?
Dr. Werning.
I hadn't been told about this gentleman.
Well, he's the head of our...
Look over his... Oh, yes, Dr. Leopold Werning, of course. You've aged since I spoke to you last.
Well, you and I are the same age. I remember when we were together.
Now, you've just arrived with the results of a survey, Doctor. We haven't seen much of you the past few months. How have you been?
Well, actually, my condition has not remained constant throughout the period, Mr. Elliott. 14% of the time, I felt perfectly all right. 77% of the time, I had a terrible toothache. And the remaining 9% of the time, I had no opinion. What kind of shape I was in.
Well, it's none of my business. If you had a toothache 77% of the time, why didn't you go to see a dentist? That would have...
Well, I tried to on a number of occasions, but 47% of the dentists I called were too busy to give me an appointment. 28% were taking the day off. and 25% had quit private practice to devote their full time to doing toothpaste commercials.
Now, I can understand why it took you so long to finish your survey for us. You were bogged down just compiling all of these statistics about your own teeth, huh?
Well, no, I compiled most of those on my own time, since the toothache kept me up all night anyway.
Right.
The reason the survey took so long was that I wanted to find the most typical group possible before conducting my poll. You see, the question this time was controversial, I suppose you could say. It was, do you approve of the policies of the Nixon administration thus far?
That's a corker of a question, Doctor. Where did you finally locate the typical cross-section of America that you were looking for?
In Kansas City, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Among the student body at Miss Wingle's kindergarten.
You trying to tell me the average American is a child in kindergarten?
Yes, and you know, I was a little surprised myself that the thing worked out that way. But at Miss Wingle's, the typical student is just under 5.5 years old,
mm-hmm.
has a weekly income of approximately 7 to 8 cents in that area.
That doesn't go far these days.
No, yeah. And does not contemplate marriage in the foreseeable future.
That's your idea of being average, huh?
Well, it's not my idea at all, Mr. Elliott. It represents the findings of my high-speed computer. Of course, I'll admit the computer has goofed once in a while in the past.
One of the older models, is it?
No, as a matter of fact, I built it myself out of parts from a 1929 Essex. It's not always accurate, but it still gives me about 18 computations to the gallon, even in city traffic.
Well, as long as you've interviewed these little tykes, I guess you might as well tell us what they think of Mr. Nixon.
Well, on foreign policy, 1% approved of the way the president was handling things, 1% disapproved, and the remaining 98% never heard of him.
And I guess the opinions on foreign domestic policy work out about the same, huh?
Look, could I step in here and interrupt you fellas?
You're Ray?
Right.
Sure.
Because it's almost news time here at Radio New York with Bob. And with Ray and with Mr. Werning.
Oh, well, Henry Gladstone's going to do the news.
You bet he is. Right here at WOR New York.
Give him time. Wally Blue is still undecided, as are several other prominent persons, as to whether or not he will run for mayor of our fine city. We expect that we will be the first to hear. You'll hear it first here on Bob and Ray, Radio New York.
I'm sure he's waiting to see which way former Mayor Wagner is going. If he says yes, then I think Wally's going to jump in, too.
Isn't that Wagner?
No, it's pronounced Wagner.
Oh. Well, I...
You could pronounce it Wagner.
I don't know, as I was here when he was Mayor.
He was Mayor Wagner, I guess, then. Probably you're right, Mayor Wagner.
No, I don't want to change any... He may pronounce it Wagner for all I know.
I think he does.
Next, Mary Backstage, Noble Wife, the story of America's favorite family of the Footlights and of their fight for security and happiness against the concrete heart of Broadway.
It's several days after our last episode now. The offer from the theater in Seattle has been accepted by Greg Marlowe, young playwright secretly in love with Mary, and rehearsals have already begun at a theater in New York, preparatory to their leaving for the West Coast. Now, outside the rehearsal hall, we see Greg, Mary, Harry, and Calvin, together with Pop-beloved stage doorman, as they discuss...
Yes, I made the final arrangements with the chap in Seattle, and we're going to open there in the Space Needle restaurant.
Well...
On the 1st of April.
All very exciting,
April
Greg.
Fool? Isn't that kind of risky?
Why, what do you mean, Calvin? What's
April Fool's Day to start that,
anyway. Oh, well, we don't go by those old superstitions.
Well, because of the rush of time, I've had the chorus... Well, let's step inside the theater here at the rehearsal hall, and I've had the chorus working since 10 o'clock this morning.
Oh, good.
This is the finale of the first act.
I have been making activity.
Oh,
we certainly enjoyed reading the script of the play, Greg. It
Fire, girls!
Looks
Take
like
higher.
Just the thing for us. When will you be leaving for Seattle, Greg,
I think we'll go out the 29th of March.
That won't give us much time to get used to the theater out there.
Well, we'll be there. It only takes you 6 hours to get out there, you know. All right.
But I mean, we'll be opening a couple of days later.
That's all you need. Real troops.
Fire, girls!
You know, that chorus is doing pretty good for only having been rehearsing for a few hours now.
Well, they're seasoned troopers, too.
Huh?
Seasoned troopers.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
Hiya, girl.
Mary, do you think you're going to be able to carry the musical numbers?
I don't know as I can dance like I used to. Watching those young girls out there now, I'm getting a little frightened.
Take a break, girls.
I'll do that, Pop.
Oh, okay.
Take a break, girls.
You mean you don't...
I'm the producer of this show, and you don't you forget it.
You don't know whether you'll be able to sing the songs, Mary, to dance the numbers? Is that what you're afraid of?
What did you say?
I say you're afraid of singing the numbers, dancing the numbers.
Are you talking to me?
No, Mary, I'm talking to.
No. No, I just don't think I can dance like I used to.
Hey, who's that coming into the back of the theater? He certainly looks familiar to me. Yes, he does to me, too.
Who?
It's Harry Backstage, Jr.
Harry Backstage, Jr.?
Your son, Larry. Home from college.
Home from college?
And so, as rehearsals go on, Harry Backstage, Jr. returns to his parents' life. Will this affect their trip to Seattle and the opening of Westchester Furioso, their new play? Be sure and join us tomorrow, and we'll hear Mary say...
You mean your father has to go and talk to the dean?
That's tomorrow in the next exciting episode of Mary Backstage, Noble Wife. Word Gar speaking.
We had been talking a little bit earlier with the director of our Bob and Ray Public Opinion Poll, Dr. Leopold Werning. And he had some results of different findings.
I discovered that 98% had never heard of the president, you see.
Yeah, but you were taking these findings among kindergarten students.
I understand,
Doctor.
All that, but that's the way the computer turned it out.
I suppose the opinions on domestic policy worked the same, did they?
Well, not quite. Now, there was an added factor there in that 56% of those interviewed didn't know what the word domestic meant.
No, well, I wouldn't think they would. That would, of course, throw the other figures all off. Anything else at all?
Well, yes, I found that draught is 38% kinder to your hands than other leading detergents.
What does that have to do with President Nixon?
Nothing, but I can't even cover my travel expense on what you birds pay me. And I got $75 to slip that plug in.
I see. Draught, huh?
I also found that 4 times out of 5, a quick shot of Huggins Gin.
Oh, come on.
Calm you down when Billy leaves his bike in the driveway.
You get 75 for that one, too?
No, just 50. Plus a year's supply of the sponsor's product.
Well, now that's fine, because you'll probably need it to celebrate your unemployment. Plus you stick to business in the future.
I think I grasp... what you're trying to say.
I hope
better
so.
Get to work on my next project sooner than I'd planned.
All right.
Come on, Bob and Ray.
So Dr. Werning sets off to conduct another of his vital surveys, and we'll keep you posted on the informative results as soon as his head clears enough to tabulate them and he comes back, if he does.
Well, we are glad to see you, Dr. Arlington Garment. Did you have any trouble getting here from...
Ran into a hornet's nest there when I came through the detection machine at the airport. I had a set of keys and a cigar lighter in my pocket.
Ballpoint
pen.
Makes you feel a little bit
funny. And a tie clip that was given to me for my birthday several years ago.
Right, but it's all worth it. It's
really ready to tilt.
The small delay that it causes is
you know,
well worth.
Even the metal on my guard is...
is that so?
Yeah, I was really checked out pretty completely.
Well, you know you're clean then now, huh?
We're
happy to welcome Dr. Garman, and his feature, You and Your Symptoms, is going to have to break up some of these letters because we have so many. And as I said earlier, your appearance here last week is one of the most successful of any of our guests to date.
Yeah.
This first is from a lady in, Mineola. Mineola, Long Island. She writes, for some reason, I keep growing a whole new set of teeth every spring, usually in April. I wouldn't care, except that I feel the money I spend on dental work is wasted because I have so little time to enjoy my new fillings before entirely different teeth come in. Is there any way I can have my old fillings transferred to my new teeth without running into a lot of additional expense, Doctor?
Well, I had a case similar to this in my own practice.
Did you?
It involved a chameleon who grew a new tail every year just as the skin blemishes on his old one were starting to clear up. Now, my advice there...
Well, now, wait. Doctor, I don't see any similarity in the two cases. Nothing that has to do with the chameleon's tail could apply to this woman's fillings,
right? Really?
Could it?
Well, you know, in medical school, they told us that messing around with animals would give us a rough idea of how to experiment on people later in all kinds of cases.
Well, sure.
That's why I was going to give this woman the same advice I gave the chameleon.
What was that?
Climb more trees and eat more bugs.
Okay, well, I hope you helped give that woman an answer. We'll have some more letters and some more questions for you. Right now, we're going to have this word.
Thank you, John. That's quarter past the hour of 5 on this Thursday afternoon, the 22nd of March.
Getting colder by the hour, by 1 degree an hour, it has been.
Yeah, the temperature now is 39 degrees.
Chillier. Our guest of the day, as we said, is Dr. Arlington Garment, with you and your symptoms. I hope you're hitting some of the people who have the same symptoms that were... whose letters we're reading, Doctor.
Sure. You know, at any given time, a set of symptoms probably would fit several hundreds of thousands of people across this country.
On the other hand, how many people have Dutch elm disease? And I know you have a letter of that sort occasionally.
Well, it doesn't strike too many people.
No.
Not in this part of the world.
We'll ask you to stand by because... Mr. Hasbrook Frisbee, author of Merry Backstage, just a word here. I know you have definite musical taste. Do you have anything particular you'd like to hear? We're going to take a little break for a song.
No, I don't have any particular... And, Bob, you don't always have to refer to me as Chester Hasbrook Frisbee. My friends call me Chet or Chester.
Well, I am of the old radio school that likes to identify my guest, Chester Hasbrook Frisbee, as I talk to them.
Well, all right. Thank you, Robert Brackett Elliott.
So my listeners will know. If you have no choice, then... We'll go right to Jonas Jones, the, well, I'm sure, a favorite of Chester Hasbrook Frisbee.
Mr. Wagner would make up his mind one way or the other, so as Wally Blue can make up his mind.
You're not basing your decision on what Mr. Wagner
I think
does.
He is, Bob,
well,
actually. While they discuss it, let's listen to this.
We have Dr. Garment with us, and Doctor, I have a few more letters with people who have symptoms that I think I'd like to have you answer before we get up to the 6 o'clock mark. If you just stand by.
I'll have to leave by 6, Bob.
All right, don't give me any ultimatum.
Well, I can't stay around much longer.
we'll find time for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
You're not getting testy, are you?
No, but I've been here for over 2 hours. I had quite an experience at the airport.
I know you. He's baring his teeth at me, ladies and gentlemen, displaying his displeasure at having to be held over.
Right ahead.
Here. Radio New York, here at 710 WOR, and Dr. Arlington Garment, our guest, with you and your symptoms. A quick letter here, Doctor, from a gentleman in Queens. I've been breathing through my mouth for so long that my nose is shriveling up because it doesn't have any function. My local doctor suggests that I get my nose back into shape by using it for other things like opening cans and hoeing the garden. I think this is ridiculous advice. What do you say?
Well, I don't like to go against the recommendations of a patient's regular physician.
No.
Especially since I have a hunch I know the local doctor involved in this case.
Oh.
I think we were thrown out of the AMA together in the class of 38.
Well, I can appreciate how you feel, and I won't go any further with that. And anyway... Thank you very much. The signal has just been given to me by our producer, Bob Tiley, today. Doctor, let's get right back to a letter here. If I can find one. Let me see. I think this is from a gentleman in Oklahoma. Is that the right one?
Yes, it's a lady in Oklahoma. Let me read it for you, Bob. All right. But this is, the question is...
I'm sorry, I've lost my place. I don't know where I am.
All right. Well, let me point out... Why don't you go and talk with Ray for a while? Let me have a few minutes of your microphone.
Okay, Ray, you want to come over?
All right, sure. Oklahoma lies right in the center of an extremely heavy pollen belt. So I'm not the least bit surprised that this woman suffers terribly from hay fever. The only thing I can't understand is why she continues to stay there and take it. My advice is that she start packing immediately and move to the upper peninsula of Michigan. It's amazing the way some people want to punish themselves.
It's kind of amazing the way some doctors give advice before they know what they're talking about. The letter doesn't mention hay fever, Doctor. She's got an ingrown fingernail on her left pinky. And
that's strange. I never heard of a heavy pollen count manifesting itself in the fingernails. Well, maybe the condition is discussed in the medical book I just used for a doorstop.
I guess you wouldn't know how to treat an ingrown nail without reading the book, huh?
Not when the Oklahoma pollen factor is involved. I better check on her right away.
All right.
I may have to practice there now that my New York license has been revoked.
All right. Dr. Arlington Garment, you and your symptoms, thank you for being here today.
Bye.
Sorry to have held you up for this long. Who's draped himself over half a row of seats. Here, are you trying to take a little nap before we go?
No, I'm not the least bit sleepy. It's just a new type of exercise program I'm running through.
Well, now, you don't seem to be running through anything, least of all an exercise program. You're just lying there like a strand of wet spaghetti. How can you tell me that this is exercise?
Well, that's how I always look when I'm exercising. I let one group of muscles, let go after another, and
Well, eventually, here I am, just completely loose all over.
This is all supposed to keep you physically fit?
Well, no, not really. It tends more to convert sinew into flab.
Uh-huh.
And your posture gets so rotten that you look like you have a point even when you don't. All that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, well, if the exercises just turn you into a physical wreck, why do you bother with them?
I've tried to put myself on a lot of other conditioning programs before, Bob, but this is the first one I've really been able to stick with.
Well,
you know?
It sounds like it'd be fairly easy.
So I guess it develops a self-discipline, even if it makes you fall to pieces otherwise, you know?
Yeah, well, you've shown a lot of willpower being able to lie there as long as you have because we've had some exciting things going on today.
Well, I'll be right here, even during Stan Lomax on the sports news.
All right. Right now, it's Henry Gladstone, though, and the regular news, the stocks, and then we'll be back to continue whatever this is that we've begun. I don't know whether we've been wise in doing so.
It's Radio New York.
Oh, right.
With Bob and Ray. It's 6:30, WOR, New York. Thank you, Stan. So that's all the sports news, eh? Right.
Well, we've certainly had a great time this afternoon. It's been 4 hours, but still, it's been 4 hours, and our talk has been here in between.
We've had just so much fun, and we hope that you've been able to share a little bit of it with us, my dear friends.
Say, if you get in town in your car, be sure and get over and get a look at Times Square. It's someplace.
Be sure and drive your cars,
right,
as they used to say. Anyway. Well, that's it for today. We'll see you all again tomorrow at 3:15. Until then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Me, Bob Elliott, reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
This is WOR New York. Curious.